the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, an 855-853-4802 is our phone number. On today's episode, a murdered friend returns for a visit on her birthday. Something evil likes to prank a pregnant listener. A shadow figure trashes a military family's home. And a tiny creature returns to terrorize after decades. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
Tiny creature returning after decades.
Yes.
It's a zombie squirrel, isn't it? It's a squirrel that somebody shot or trapped and got rid of.
No.
Comes back.
This is a different creature. It's very different.
Creature or critter?
No, not a critter. It's
a creature.
More like a tiny gnome almost.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a big gnome problem around here. I haven't seen many. To update you on the latest breaking squirrel news in our neighborhood that we talked about yesterday.
Do we have squirrel news?
There is squirrel news.
Okay.
The squirrel patrol has now two traps in their yard.
Oh, yeah.
This is not us. I don't know what the hell's going on, why there's squirrel traps everywhere. I know we live in a forest, but it's like, I said to you last night when we were talking about this, it's like putting a bucket out in your front yard when it's flooding, hoping that that will keep the flood away.
I know.
It's like, this is not going to do much.
Yeah,
like one tree maybe, and like all the squirrels in the area just lived in that one tree. Okay, you could probably eradicate that area of the squirrels and move them to another area.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like 500 squirrels and trees. Anyway, that's the latest. Just thought I'd ever let everyone know, just in case you're playing along at home. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, where you can send in your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, we love the support of the show. If you've not become an EPP yet, please consider becoming one over at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up right through our system, right there on our website. Or you have the option of joining through Patreon now as well. So two ways to become an EPP. Different tiers on each of the systems. On our website, you got the $5 a month. $5 a month on Patreon as well. Also, the yearly membership on our website. Through Patreon, you have a $5, $10, and $20 level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some nice perks there for the $10 a month level. You get advanced episodes of the show, commercial-free, as we make them. And the $20 level, you get all that and a couple other stuff, including our audiobook when it comes out next year. And a fast pass for getting stories to us. It's all up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Pick what you feel is best for you and help keep us on the air. Kira writes in, hey guys, Love your podcast. Found it when I ran out of episodes of one of my other favorite podcasts in SoundCloud. My story happened about 2 years ago when I was nannying triplets. A little backstory, I believe, is needed to fully understand how this experience shook me to my core. A year before I began my job as a nanny, I was about to perform at a Scottish game for the first time as a stage combatant when I received a phone call from my best friend, and she was in tears. I hadn't even walked into the gate when she told me that our dearest friend, we'll call her Sunshine, had been shot and killed trying to help two girls escape gang members. Needless to say, I was devastated. She was the type of person that just by saying hello, she'd brighten your day and never had a bad word to say about anyone. A few months later, they caught the individual responsible. Fast forward 2 years ago, I was getting the triplets, 4 years of age, ready for bed. The boys were already upstairs in bed, leaving their sister downstairs. She was always slower than they were at getting ready for just about anything. As I was coming downstairs, I heard her talking to someone. And this was odd because her brothers and parents were all upstairs. First, I thought she's probably talking to her imaginary friend. So I asked her, "Who are you talking with, hun?" What she said still haunts me to this day. "I'm talking with the blue-haired girl." I froze mid-step. Sunshine, for as long as I had known her, always had blue hair. I asked her what the girl looked like, trying to keep my cool, but as she described her, I began to cry a little. She described in great detail my friend, right down to her teapot tattoo. I called her mother to help her into pajamas, and I stepped outside for smoke to help calm my nerves. I'd never talked about my friend to any of the kids, as I did not know how to fully explain the details of what happens after death and such. The oddest thing about this story was that the day it had happened was Sunshine's birthday. Thanks for reading my story. Hope you are well. I'll be becoming an EPP member soon. Thanks, Kira.
I think that one's pretty cut and dry. You know, the little girl's not going to know about that, you know, because that's not something you really want to bring up with the kids that you babysit.
Sure.
So I have no doubt that she saw the friend.
I think identifying ghosts in the future is going to become easier and easier for generations as far as who the people are, because people dress very distinctively.
Yeah, they do.
Today, more so than I think they used to. There used to be, you know, like a trend would end up engulfing 80-90% of the population. Mm-hmm. Now, like, each interest group and everybody kind of has their own trends within them, depending on the circle that they associate with. But those groups are all much more segmented than they used to be. So you have a lot more folks like this who would have blue hair for a long period of time. Or however, you know, that would be a distinctive way of dressing, I think will be interesting. We'll probably be dead when those ghost stories come in. But when they do, whoever is doing the show will go, "I think Dad talked about that once a long, long time ago." And yes, of course, I'm talking about Harper or Livy doing the show someday. So they have no choice. I said that to, like, sorry, your career is now doing a ghost show.
No, I think Harp wants to do it, but Livy's got other plans.
Yeah, I agree. Harper wants to do a show about being a ballerina right now. So that may switch. That may change. Okay. What about zombie ballerina? No, not zombies.
Okay.
We'll see. I think there may be some changing. And no, I didn't say they couldn't have a career or a life of their own. I just like to go, hey, you know, this would be kind of fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Sarah writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name's Sarah. I'm from Fayetteville, Arkansas. You guys played my story, and I'm never calling in again because my voice is dumb."
That's something she put in there.
Okay, I'm not saying that myself. Just so everyone knows, like, I can't believe he insulted that woman that way.
I thought it was funny, so I left it in.
Yeah, it is funny. I just want to take myself out of that equation. Like, listen to this horrible thing he just said. However, I'm glad that both of you take song requests. Did she make a song request and you took it out?
No, she didn't. She just said, "I'm glad you take song requests."
And then nothing. Bullshit. You took something out of
there. I did not.
I'm going to make a request in place just for her.
I did not do that.
Unless you want to make a request.
If I were going to take it out, I would have taken out the whole song request line and not even open that can of worms.
I could see him accidentally just missing that line, though.
No.
Like, shit, I took the song request out, but not the prelude to it. If you were to request a song right now, what would it be?
Silence.
Has to be a song.
Nothing.
Silence. She blinded me with silence. Is that what you?
No, that's not it.
That one go. All I just remember is the part where it's like, "Silence." You know what I'm talking about?
No.
What is that? Someone will know what that is. It's like an 80s song.
It's Weird Science, not is it weird? Silence.
I thought it was Silence.
No.
It's Weird Science?
It's Weird Science.
Who does that?
I don't know who does it, but you did it wrong.
Damn it, you're right. It is Science. I thought it was Silence. Silence!
No.
Well, you screwed that song up for me now.
Just read.
Walking with my feet and feet off of veal.
No.
Yes, I'm walking in Memphis.
That's wrong, too.
I thought it was that forever, not Beale. I thought when you got to Memphis, there was a street lined with veal.
Nope.
Turns out, not the case. Just in case anyone else misinterpreted that song.
I think nobody had that problem.
Okay. Here's some answers to some of your questions from the previous story about how I knew it was my granddaddy that I was seeing. First, I've lived with real evil. That tale will come later. I want to write that story in changing all of the names to something silly and innuendos like bend over and Ivanka shaking my booty. For therapeutic reasons also, I believe I've always been sensitive. I just have a thin veil during my pregnancy. Okay, here's a current reason that I'm writing into you two lovelies. In the late fall of 2015, while I was pregnant, I would have consistent dreams where I would be rebuking demons all night. Sometimes my ex would wake me up asking if I was all right. He always said that I was sleep talking and he couldn't understand what I was saying. Must have been speaking another language because once he recorded me, it wasn't English. Most of the time, I'd wake up around 3:30 a.m. and have to potty because of the breakdancing child that showered her love by hugging my bladder all night. That never freaked me out. Never been able to look into a mirror at night, at least not since December 23rd of 2010. That's a big story. Anyway, I'll avoid looking into the mirror at all costs and even turn on the light inside the shower so that it wasn't directly over me. But I wasn't in the dark. I could always feel the hate in that apartment. One night it peaked. I was probably about 7.5 to 8 months pregnant, and I woke up to get a glass of water in the kitchen. The clock from the cable box was the only light behind me, and it cast a blue light into the living room kitchen. My shadow wasn't scary, except for the fact that I'm 5'2" and huge with child. When I went to get a glass of water, the thought that popped into my head is what triggered this story. When I bent down to pick up ice off the floor, I thought, it'd be freaky as hell if I looked at my shadow and it had horns. At this point, I could feel the anger and malice in the room. But being this close to being a mom, I was going to do anything that I could to protect my child. So I spun around and said, with a kind of calmness that can only come from the good Lord, "You can't be here anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ, go back to hell." I went around the small apartment saying this in every room. The rest of the night, I slept like a child. From that time forward, I always caught a glimpse of a white orb out of the corner of my eye. It wasn't until I had said something to my ex that the reason became clear. My ex says that he has a guardian angel and that he visited him in a dream recently. If I asked this angel who wore white, the blood drained out of his face. I guess that my ex didn't believe me before that point. I knew something was going on in that apartment. Thank you guys for being here. For all of us with super situations in our life and giving us a place to share. With you guys, I'm really hoping that one day I can find someone to balance me out like Jenny can with Tony. Peace and blessings, Sarah.
I think it's always a good thing when your spouse has that little moment where they finally have to believe you. If they don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that you ever wish for any more paranormal activity to occur, but I could understand if somebody doesn't believe you when you're saying this.
Mm-hmm.
Them having a little glimpse into what your life's been like with this.
Sure. Especially in a topic like that. Because mm-hmm. I think with a lot of couples, it's just like, either both are on the same page with it. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I believe. I may not completely understand how the other person feels, but I believe. Or it's just like a very staunch, one person is really getting it and the other's like, that doesn't exist at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which is odd.
It is odd.
Because those sort of combos just kind of get me. It's like, no, it seems, I know ghosts are not a huge topic for, I guess, most couples, but it's like a kind of a, like, it's a fundamental thing of like a belief system, if you will. I mean, it's, and then if the other person is just like completely not on the same page with it, I don't know. It's just kind of, to me, that's odd. To me, that would be very, it would be difficult to be, you know, I guess in that relationship or I guess I understand a lot of other aspects of the person's life, not just because of ghosts. I would just think there's a lot of other differences there as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that it's as big of a thing to most couples as it is
sure
to us or anybody that listens to our show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that you can still have a healthy relationship and be on different pages there.
Not at all. I think it's screwed. It's completely damned to hell.
No, but I appreciate it when, you know, one's like really struggling with stuff that's going on and the other one gets a little glimpse and it's kind of like,
sure.
Okay.
I would just think that it would be weird to be the one who doesn't believe in the stuff, but be cool. I mean, because if you don't believe in it at all, I mean, and I'm not saying that they're a skeptic. I'm saying flat out, do not believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then your spouse like really does. I would think that there'd be a level of where that other person is thinking that person is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, if they're just so staunch against it. I mean, I get it. Like if you're kind of skeptical and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, maybe it's out there. Maybe, you know, I guess I need more evidence to it. And that's the gray line where you can understand the other people and go, okay, I get it, but
sure.
I don't get it, but I'm cool with you.
Yeah.
The whole like, nope, not existing. That'd be odd.
It would be odd for us.
Unless you don't care if your spouse is crazy. I mean, I guess that could be, that could be it too. 855-853-4802 is the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Shauna writes in, I was living in a second floor apartment in a city in southern New Hampshire. It was 2010 in late spring. I had two young children, a boy 3, a girl about 18 months. On the spectacular day, my husband was working and I was home with the kids. I admit I was feeling stressed. The apartment was a mess. There were toys everywhere. Dishes needed to be done, etc. I decided to start my children's room. I walked in, looked around, sat myself on the floor while my son and daughter came in after me. I was ready to start putting toys away when I suddenly stopped and focused my attention on a medium-sized stuffed toy. It was the blue alien, Stitch, the character from the Disney movie. It was on its back, but I watched it sit up. It sat up on its own. My children were in front of the doorway. I was in the middle of the room, and that damn toy was in the left corner of the room, sitting up. I could understand a toy falling over, but sitting up? I jumped up and said, I don't need your help, and ran into the kitchen. My children followed, but went back into play. I was confused and a little uneasy, but I decided to keep myself busy with dishes and other chores. About 30 minutes later, my son, who had been diagnosed with a speech delay, came out of his room with his sister and spoke in a complete sentence. Dead people pick flowers. He said it in a clear, matter-of-fact manner. What? I asked with disbelief in my voice. He repeated, dead people pick flowers. Again, I asked, what? And again, he told me, dead people pick flowers. I was nervous. I asked my little son, who told you this? He answered, saying that the girl in his room told him. I told him to show me. He walked to a small wardrobe in the corner of his room. The girl, she said, flowers. I did not know what to do or what to believe. I tried to brush it off to focus on my kids and chores. However, I could not stop thinking about that creepy afternoon. From that day onward, my mother and I had experienced several inexplicable situations. I believe that the apartment was indeed haunted. This event got me interested in the paranormal. I have other stories that I might share later. I enjoy your show. Thank you for all this outlet and for all you do to share our creepy experiences with the paranormal.
I just blanked.
I think it's an observation.
Yeah.
It was just an observation and probably a powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it came out the way it did, of dead people pick flowers.
Yeah, but why would dead people pick flowers?
I don't know. Because they're beautiful, they smell lovely, and they make your day brighter.
I don't know. That was just a weird thing for a little ghost kid to say.
I mean, it is. It's just, it's bizarre. It's bizarre to have that. But I'm thinking it's just like kind of an observation that was being made of life.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Rico writes in, hey guys, my name's Rico. I was born in Puerto Rico. I know the irony, but always let me just get started. I have a ton of stories back from the island of Puerto Rico, but today I'm writing a short story that happened to us in the States. A little background on my family. My grandfather, from my mom's side, has always been sensitive to spirits and ghosts, but he just doesn't want to admit it. But when he had my mom, she was sensitive to it too. And so is my sister, smallest of us four. Anyway, this happens 4 years ago when we moved to the state of Texas. It was a new beginning for us in the States. My little sister was 9 at the time, and she'd always see spirits in new places that we would go. A few weeks after we moved to the rented house that we were living in, and I was already expecting my sister to tell me about a ghost around this time, but I thought it stopped. And one night, my siblings and I were sleeping in one room and my parents in another. It was me and my baby sister to one wall on the mattress and my brother and other sister on the other wall of the room. This room wasn't really that big as one would imagine, but it was something. Anyways, from the wall I was sleeping, you could see the door to go to the hallway on your right corner, meaning that my brother and other sister was sleeping right in front of the door. Continuing with the story, it was around 2 a.m, and my baby sister was still awake. I told her to go to sleep now. It's really late, and we've got school tomorrow. She told me that she can't. When I asked why, it felt cold in the room. She told me it was because the man is staring at her. I didn't believe her because it was very dark for her to see something at all, but she asked, "Can't you see him? He's right there in front of the door." I stared at the door, and I could see the shadow just appearing out of nowhere. I was calm when I saw him until my sister said, "He says hi." I got really scared and yelled for my parents, yelled so loud, I felt so exhausted after it. They came running to my room, and he disappeared. She never saw the man again. Anyways, Tony and Jenny, love your show. I'm writing back with some more stories.
I would love to know how the little sister said he says hi. Was it like, he says hi?
Kind of like how I said it.
He says hi. You know, there's there's such a difference there. And it's so scary either way, but it just makes you wonder, was she afraid of it or was she just bothered that something was staring at her?
Yeah, like completely comfortable as if it was just a dog or something, mm-hmm. like the family dog staring at you. He says, hi, you know, or is, you know, that does right. kind of change the mood
it does.
Of the story. That's a good one. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Nora writes in, I stayed on the Queen Mary in November of 2012, and the following happened. The TV in my room turned on by itself 3 separate times. I turned it off myself and checked to see if it was off, and it would come back on when I was either in the bathroom or in bed. Also, my first night, the sounds of a party awakened me. There were men and women talking and laughing throughout the walls, and I could hear glasses clinking. At times, it sounded like it was outside my portholes. That was not possible, as I was on the harbor side of the ship with nothing but water below me. I did check the front desk, and the room next to mine was not occupied for the first 2 nights I was there. Bathroom light burned out in the morning, so when I went to breakfast, I reported it, and when I came back to my room to get my camera and phone, went to brush my teeth, and the light was working. I was in the room. A maintenance man knocked on my door with the work order to change the bulb in the bathroom. I told him someone already did it. And he said that was impossible since it was his first work order of the day. When I was on the self-guided tour, I was alone near the infirmary steps when I got the feeling that someone was there with me. And not in a good way. As I started down the stairs, I got a bad feeling and could not continue. I turned around and went back to the sunlight as the open stern of the ship. As I was heading for the bridge, I somehow got turned around and needed to head inside for a restroom. Could not find the way, and a painter assisted me by showing me a staff entrance that led to a lower deck. When I came back up to that location, there was no painter, no evidence of anything being painted or just been painted. No wet paint signs or ropes, roped off areas. Never saw any workmen for the rest of my self-guided tour. When I went on the ghost tour at night, I had a fully charged battery in my camera. However, while in the boiler room, which was very dark, my camera battery died. I could take no more photos. When I got back to the lighted common area, my battery was fully charged and my camera was operational. Tour guide said that happens a lot on the tour. As I went into the propeller room, there were other people in there with me. However, I started feeling closed in, like I could not breathe, not feeling good. I got out of there as soon as I could exit into the lighted historical area of the ship where the feeling continued like something was following me and I was being closed in. I finally had to go outside the ship to get the feeling to stop. When I looked at my photos, I have orbs throughout them, and in the boiler room photos I was able to take, it looks like in one there's a baby's face, and another there's a man of some shape. I do have the photos, and I'll be glad to share them with you if you'd like to see them. I'd prefer email correspondence. Thank you. Please let me know how I am not crazy.
You're not crazy, because just about...
Some of the least haunted places on Earth.
I don't think we've ever had a story of somebody going there and saying, nothing happened to me.
Well, they wouldn't write that story in, though. I
mean... Well, but we've not had, like, a comment.
Sure.
Or I've never heard of somebody mentioning that spot and not mentioning something that happened, especially down in the boiler room.
Yeah, pretty much everything we've ever heard is, I mean, that's such a haunted place.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many stories, some much more scary, if you will, or disturbing than others. Some are fairly tame and calm and just little things kind of happening here and there. Some are pretty vivid things happening here and there, but not necessarily disturbing. I think that's a lot of them. Like the painter. And,
right. No, I was just going to say just about everybody that visits probably has a story.
So yeah.
You're not crazy.
Or they don't realize they have a story. I could see that too, because some of these things on that ship seem to be very vivid. And if you're not thinking ghosts, you may not even realize who you've run into. We should do a show where it's just called Not Haunted, and it's stories of experiences of people going to haunted places and being thoroughly disappointed.
I don't know what to think about that.
Not Haunted. And then the thing is, it will be used then by others like, see, it's not haunted. It's like, well, we got like 500 stories of it being haunted. I guess maybe it won't happen for everyone, but 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Kirsten writes in, hey guys, I've been listening to your podcast for a few months now and absolutely love it. It has helped me confirm some of the things I've experienced. I want to start off by saying I've always been somewhat sensitive to the paranormal. I have a ton of experiences and stories, but the one I want to share with you today happened in 2014. My husband is active duty military, and we were living on an Air Force base in southern Idaho. Shortly before this all started happening, they were tearing down old houses right across the street from us. The whole time I lived there, which was about 6 years, no one ever lived in those homes, and they had asbestos and mold and other issues, apparently. I'm not sure if something migrated over to my house because of this or what, but things started to get weird. I first noticed what I can only describe as a heavy presence. Sometimes it almost felt threatening, and it was mostly upstairs in our two-story house. My husband thought I was crazy and would just ignore me when I expressed this to him. My daughter at the time was 2. She'd wake up in the middle of the night almost every night, screaming and crying and telling us a man was in her room. We didn't know what to think. I remember telling whatever it was to please leave my children alone, and shortly after that, she didn't wake up anymore. Later, my husband deployed overseas, and activity had stopped for the most part, and other than minor noises, footsteps and such, I had a couple friends over one night after my kids had gone to bed. One of them was standing in the kitchen talking to me, and the other had gone out to my garage to smoke a cigarette. The garage was accessed right through the laundry room, which then opened into a short hallway leading to the kitchen. My friend and I were in mid-conversation when all of a sudden we both stopped and turned our heads. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see a dark, almost black figure walk into the room. When I turned my head, it was gone. I looked at my friend and said, I know this is going to sound crazy, but... And she stopped me and I said, no, I saw it too. We both had just thought it was our other friend walking back in until we realized she hadn't. When she came in shortly after, we told her about it. Safe to say, we were all pretty freaked out. Later in the deployment, my kids and I went to a friend's house, which was just down the street from us. I ran home alone to let my dogs out to go to the bathroom and such and grab a sweater from my room. When I went upstairs, I walked into my closet and noticed all my husband's clothes were on the ground. None of mine, just his, including his dress uniform. Some even torn off the hangers. I picked them up and didn't think much about it, but later realized that we hadn't been home all day, so it wasn't even possible that one of my kids had done it. When telling my husband about all of this, of course, he didn't believe me. When he returned from deployment, we were sitting on the couch at night. He returned We had just got done playing a game of Life, the board game. We were sitting there talking with the game and coffee table when all of a sudden one of the little pegs lifted from the car and flew across the table. My husband believes me 100% now. After that, not much happened. I believe whatever this was moved on from my house or realized it couldn't faze us. I would tell it to stop doing things, and it would, but to this day, I'm convinced whatever it was did not like my husband one bit. Who knows? Maybe it was because he didn't believe, and once he did, it had its job done. We now live in Okinawa, Japan, which is said to be very haunted, so I'm sure I'll have more stories to share soon. I'll write in soon with some of my childhood stories as well. Sorry this was so long. Interested in hearing your insight if this makes it on the air. Love your podcast. Thank you so much. Looking forward to listening more.
I agree. I think it was an aggression towards the husband. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know why else it would have taken all of his clothes out of the closet, not hers. And it sounds like this wasn't just like a closet rod that fell. Things were ripped off the hangers.
And it just seems to come and go only when he is there. Mm-hmm. So there's something that doesn't like him or some aspect of him. And that's why it's there. Mm-hmm. Interesting to hear if more of this continues on.
Yeah.
In the future. So please keep us posted. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Amal writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Just discovered your show recently. Really love it. Listen to 3 or 4 episodes a day. Love your sense of humor, especially with Jenny's. It's hilarious." So I have a lot of stories to tell you and don't mean to impose anything on you, but I think it would be interesting to have an episode about gins. However you want to spell it, I think a lot of people would be interested to know more about these beings. They have Turkish and Egyptian Muslim roots, and so I hear a lot of stories about jinn, and I know they're real. They're not just mythological creatures, because my grandparents told me. They mentioned in the Holy Book of the Quran. They are kind of the equivalent of demons in Western culture and Christianity, and they can possess people for many different reasons, like being far away from God and committing sins. Also, if you fall down in a cemetery, you can become possessed and get epileptic episodes where the jinn speaks through you. And also in moments of extreme anger, fight, or sadness, you can also be possessed. I was also fantasized by the subject, and it also scared me sometimes, but honestly, I didn't believe it 100% until I witnessed it myself. So I have this aunt who was about 19 years old when she got married, and her husband was living and working in Dubai at the time. So, of course, she had to move in with him. After a few days, she was in the shower, and she fell and hurt herself. In the Muslim culture, something I forgot to mention is that jinns live in bathrooms and other unclean places and in deserts and abandoned places. So, to continue my story, my aunt started having these episodes of fainting, especially when she's emotionally stressed from being away from her siblings and parents in a different country. When she told my grandma, she would ask her to pray and be clean the whole time, so it would go away. But 8 years ago, my grandpa passed away after a long period of suffering from heart disease, and we all had to be there for his funeral. It was so sad, especially for my aunt, because she didn't have time to come see him when he was still alive. So when we arrived at grandpa's house after the funeral, she collapsed and fell unconscious on the floor right in front of the door. My mom and her sisters tried to revive her, and she started talking in a very weird voice that was closer to a man's voice, saying, "Get off me. I'll kill you all. Leave me alone. I hate you." Stuff like that, which was weird because she never said anything and had no problems of any kind. All that time, her eyes were closed but still talking in that voice until my mom recited a few verses of the Quran, and then my aunt came to. Her eyes were full of tears and she looked surprised at them surrounding her like that, and she asked what happened. They told her, "You don't remember?" She said, "No, what's wrong?" They didn't want to alarm her, so they said it was nothing. "Don't worry about it." After witnessing that, I started to believe that jinns are real and possession is too. I love your show. I have more stories that I'll send you guys soon. Keep up the good work. Cheers.
Didn't we, at the very beginning of doing the show, at some point, we did an episode on them?
We did, because we got an influx of stories one day, which it was one of those odd things where it's like, oh, we didn't really hear about this much, but here's 4 in a row.
Yeah, it was the universe's theme for the show.
Yeah.
But we don't get them very often.
Mm-mm.
And I'm surprised by that because of how they sound basically like another type of demon.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where that's the word that's used for it in that culture and in that part of the world, where, you know, I think a lot of these things are somewhat interchangeable. It's just how the society and the culture describes the entity, if you will.
I would be terrified to know this and to fall down in a cemetery because I'm a klutz. I fall all the time.
We're going for a walk here in a little bit. We're going to go over and visit Ray Hansey.
No. Anyway, I just would not be at all surprised if I accidentally fell and it happened to be in a cemetery.
I fell all the time in a cemetery as a kid.
Yeah, but this...
I'm possessed as shit now.
This would really scare me.
Yeah, now that you have this little piece of knowledge, now you're really not going to want to trip in the cemetery.
Nope.
I'm going to bring that up as we're walking on our Christmas... cemetery jaunt.
I don't know that I'm going to join you on that anyway. It's going to be so cold.
It's never cold in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
That's how it's just, it's a warm place. It's tropical now. Maybe in a couple years after, you know, climate change kicks in a little more, it'll be more of a warm atmosphere. Either that or it'll be like just tyrannically frozen of all, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know which direction it'll go there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Sarah writes in, hello, Briscoes. I don't know if this could be considered a ghost story or just something that would be considered paranormal. Just a little background on the story. My father was diagnosed with aggressive cancer. He had surgery to remove most of it. He needed to continue to go back for checkups. Well, one of his checkups was one to remember. My mom always attended his appointments with him. As they were standing side by side waiting for the elevator doors to open, they noticed an older lady standing right behind them in between the two of them, standing a little too close for comfort. They both turned to look at the person and rapidly turned right back around. Looked at each other through the corner of their eyes, and my father just nodded his head yes. They were both thinking the same thing. As my mom began to cry, she turned and looked at the older woman and said, I'm sorry, but can I hug you? You just look like my mother. The lady just smiled. My mom just hugged her as she was crying. She composed herself and turned around as she heard the ding of the elevator door. As the doors opened, both my parents moved aside to allow the woman to enter the elevator or exit the elevator. To their astonishment, the lady was nowhere to be found. They went looking for her, couldn't find anyone that even looked like her. I asked both how was she dressed, what she looked like, and she didn't give you an answer when you asked if she could, you could hug her. And apparently she was well-dressed, as she was in life. Only difference was she had gray hair instead of her blondish color hair. She always had dyed. My mom mentioned that even though the woman never verbally agreed to allow her to hug her, she just knew or had the feeling it was okay to do, and my dad agreed. She never said a word to either of them, nor did she hug my mom back. She just smiled, and that's it. My grandma has always been very fond of my dad, and he was truly her favorite son-in-law. We all believe she was there for support and comfort for my dad, a symbol to let him know everything was going to be okay. Thank you for taking the time to read my story, Sarah from Texas. So I guess they were outside the elevator waiting for it to open. I was assuming in my mind they were inside. That's why I changed enter to exit. But I get it. She didn't vanish out of the elevator. She was standing behind them waiting to get into the elevator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But
so that made some room for escape.
It did. But you would see somebody, you know, heading off that quickly.
If someone asked to hug you, you would have run away. You would have done the hug, but then realized you were going to be stuck in that elevator with those people then for the next however many floors. I think you probably would have gone and found the other elevator.
No, I'm a hugger. I just
to strangers?
If I am meeting somebody and it's planned,
sure.
I will hug them.
What about this?
This? Some random lady asked, can I hug you? You look like my mom. I would probably feel bad for her and let her hug me just because.
I would feel bad. And, yeah. And you're in a setting where there's a lot of emotions going on.
But just some other random person. Hey, can I hug you? No, I don't think so.
I wouldn't feel necessarily threatened by going into an elevator with them after the random hug that I never consented to. But I would feel a little odd. Mm-hmm. And I think I would kind of like quietly scurry away. Because I'm an ass like that.
I think there's more going on, though, since she looked exactly like...
I do, too.
The mother.
So. I do, too. I think it very likely was that. Or if it wasn't, it could have just been one of those things where the world's working in mysterious ways.
Sure.
And it's just like, this person happened to look like the mom, happened to be there at the right time. Maybe she did get weirded out and went away. But those actions also gave them a little more, you know, reassurance or you know, confidence in their day of what they were going through. And that's just how everything kind of worked out right for them. So it could, I could see it actually being either way, but either way, there's a level of mysteriousness going on here and some sort of force at play beyond just that.
I'm just thinking about in a hospital. I've never heard somebody quietly walk away in a hospital. Those hospital floors, you always hear the footsteps.
Not if you're wearing slippers.
Okay. Or I'm just footies. Saying, I think they would have noticed.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. I'm just playing the Satan's advocate.
Okay.
Well, it sounds better when you say Satan's advocate.
Have fun.
It sounds much more dramatic. Mm-hmm. What's another horrible way of saying it?
I don't know.
Just trying to make it more like movie-esque. 855-853-4802 is our number. John writes into the show, okay? So I'm not sure what to call this even, but I know it wasn't of the normal kind. This is a story that has come from my best friend and I was involved in and have this story from 20 years later. The first time anything had occurred, he was left home alone, lying on the couch, waiting for his dad to come home from work, and he dozed off and thought he was dreaming. As he lay there, he realized or recalled a pungent odor of what he described as antique, like a mixture of old books and mothballs. When he sat up to see what the odor was, he looked straight down his hallway, which was lined with a couch. He saw a little man wearing a tailed suit covered in lace and ruffles, also wearing wooden shoes and a hat. That being said, nothing to him. He ran out of the back door, which had been master locked and is never unlocked. My friend then chased the man outside and shouted at him, "How did you get in here and what do you want?" Before he could finish shouting, the creature looked demonic and jumped from the middle of the backyard and attacked him, causing a blackout. When he opened his eyes, his mother noticed blood on his cheek, but couldn't conclude the cause, except that it was his blood. 20 years passed. He had forgotten about the little guy, and he had even tried to write it off as something that he had dreamt. Me and my wife had met him and his god family at his father's house for his son's birthday. Had some barbecue and shoot some cause, and that's what you do in South Texas on someone's birthday. Never heard the term shoot some cause. Texas girl?
Cause?
What does shoot some cause mean? C-A-U-S-E. So like shoot the shit?
And shoot some, because that's what you do in Texas.
Oh.
Not shoot some cause.
There's no comma.
Sorry, I missed a comma. Yeah, it made a difference.
That's what it
is. So you eat barbecue and you shoot some. That's
and cause is the shorter version of because.
Yeah.
I never see cause in a sentence either, so that was another kind of throw off.
Sorry. I just totally screwed you up today.
Thank you, grammar girl.
Mm-hmm.
I had been inside as the night wound down and my friend had gone to the backyard to pick up some spent shells for reloading. And suddenly he ran into the house and had a look of fear on his face and looked as if he'd seen a ghost. Well, did we know he had. He couldn't say anything physically due to shock for a few moments. Finally, he caught his breath. He said he could smell the antique scent again and turned his cell phone flashlight on and saw the little man again, same description as before. He said his first instinct was to just run and not look back. I believe his experience is very credible considering my friend has always been a skeptic, believing that there's a solution to every equation and this one he just couldn't add up and debunk. From Corpus Christi, Texas, thanks for reading. Feel free to call this, this is the only story I have. I'm excited to share over the phone with you if you want to get even greater details.
I think we got enough details.
Yeah.
And
let's wait for them to shoot the...
the cause.
The cause. The little thing.
Oh, gosh. I wonder if the blood was from when he blacked out, if he hurt himself falling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to think that this thing like attacked him and drew blood.
I would think if I was being attacked by the man from the Lucky Charms box, there could be some blood drawn.
Yeah.
And rainbows and ponies and what other shapes are in that box?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever eaten Lucky Charms.
I've never been a big marshmallow cereal person. The thing is, this is not the first time we've had a story where it's something like this, where it's a little, almost, you know, troll gnome-like creature. So, I mean, and that may sound weird if you're, like, just kind of new to the show. Like, I bet you never had anything like this before. Oh, no, we have. Mm-hmm. We have. I have no idea what. These are some of the more confusing things to me on the show as to what on earth something like this is.
Because we don't know if it is something, you know, portraying itself as this character, mm-hmm. or if it's a type of ghost, or exactly where it falls.
I'm thinking if I were to make a guess, it's something kind of dark, but it's something that's just the way it's portraying itself. Just like, you know, things can portray themselves seemingly as animals. Mm-hmm. The same reason why we've had ghost buildings and structures on the show, too, that they are gone. I think there's no real limit as to what can show up visually, but bizarre story, but not the first of its kind. Mm-mm. So thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. Jennifer writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny, this is Jennifer. I decided to write in another experience that happened in the same house where the sickle man was. This experience happened when I was a teenager and has been like no other I've ever had. I had some other stories on the show were similar, so I wanted to share mine. One night after I just laid down to go to sleep, I heard a noise coming from the space between my bed and my closet. It sounded like a tapping of a typewriter, and then what sounded like paper being crumpled up. Afterwards, every now and then, I would hear different sounds coming from around that space. Chair moving, thunks, etc. But what I remember most was the sound of the typewriter. These sounds would last for a few minutes, then go away. A few times I even heard the typing, and a male voice that would sound irritated along with the sound of crumpling paper. The sounds never scared me because it just sounded like a man going about his business in his office. I thought maybe it was some kind of residual energy of a man that did a lot of writing on his typewriter. Our house was brand new, but there used to be a farmhouse and a stable on or near our small plot of land, so I thought maybe it was someone that lived on the farm. Then one night I was sitting on my bed about to lay down and I started to hear sounds, and suddenly I saw a light to the right of me inside my room. Turned my head and saw what looked like an opening and light was coming through. Inside I was able to see a Caucasian man from his shoulders up. He was terrified and wide-eyed staring at me. When our eyes locked, he yelled out a cuss word, then yelled, "What the hell?" A second or two after that, the opening was gone. This only happened once and I do not know how or why. I felt it was the same man that did the typing. I think what I saw was a man from another dimension or plane of time, either the past, future, or the present. It is one of the many things that have happened to me that I myself have had a hard time believing. So what are your guys' thoughts on this? Thanks, Tony and Jenny. I love the show. I listen every day.
I think we're going to get a story from some guy that was on the other end.
Yeah.
I hope. I would love to see that happen. And that way we find out it's not actually a ghost story per se, but mm-hmm. more of a, you know, wrinkle in time dimensional thing like mm-hmm. we talk about. But I keep hoping that sometime when it's like one of those that we'll get the other side of it.
I think at some point we're going to get some of those dots connected like that, mm-hmm. where somebody heard the story here and like, wait a second, I had the same experience over there.
Yeah.
At some point it will happen and we'll have like the streamers and like the party whistles.
Okay.
And hats.
You knock yourself out.
I have them in a glass case over here ready to break open.
You do not.
When that happens, it's suddenly streamers and party hats. Because mm-hmm. there's nothing that says party like party hat mm-hmm. and blowing air through something that makes you sound like a duck in heat. That to me says party time.
Okay.
So there you go. On that note. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, become an EPP, sign up, ghostpodcast.com. What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person. It supports our show. You support our show. Keep us on the air. $5 a month is all we ask. That's where it starts at. Other upgradable options there as well, depending on how much you like us, really. Ghostpodcast.com. And choose to support through the website or through Patreon, whatever works for you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski, and for all the squirrels in our neighborhood that we will save, we will not let go away. I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.